Hurricane season is upon us. We're planning for what may come, but some are still coping with what happened a few years ago. Welcome to the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak. Glad you can join us today. Now, we spoke yesterday about the current hurricane season, the predictions, what we should be doing to get ready, you know, smart, practical stuff that we should be doing now. But today, we're going to turn our attention to what happened a little under 2 years ago, because it was September of 2017 that Hurricane Maria tore through the Caribbean. It destroyed a number of islands, and it devastated the American territory, Puerto Rico. It's 2 years later, and Puerto Rico is still rebuilding. Today, we're going to find out how the rebuild is progressing and what it means to our region. Miguel Marrero is joining us from the island. He's the mental health program manager for AmeriCares in Puerto Rico. Thanks for talking with us, Miguel. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. And I am really happy to be now with you and with all from your audience. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
It's our pleasure to have you with us. You and I were spoken before we went on, and I have known or done shows with AmeriCares for more than, I hate to admit it, 3 decades now. Back then, it was just a hole-in-the-wall operation based in New Canaan. Tell us about AmeriCares. Who are you? What do you do?
Oh, well, you know what? AmeriCares is this NGO, this non-governmental organization, that is health-focused, relief and development organization that saves lives and improves health for people affected by poverty and disease around the world. We have reached an average of 90 countries, including the U.S., every year with life-changing health programs, medicine and medical supplies. So we are an organization that helps people, that are, you know, under emergencies, disaster, and poverty around the world.
Just as background, when I met your founder, Bob McCauley, many years ago, he would always tell the story of how AmeriCares started, and it was basically he had a meeting with Pope John Paul II and Mother Teresa at that time, and the Pope said to him, "Can you help the people of Poland?" And so Bob came back to America, and that was the birth of AmeriCares. And he used to joke, and you would say, "What do you do?" And he would say, "I'm a professional beggar." Okay, so tell me, how does Puerto Rico look to you?
Well, you know, as you mentioned before in the nice description, just less than 2 years ago, we have Hurricane Maria. It was a Category 4 hurricane. It's interesting because we mentioned that it was a Category 4 hurricane, but the thing is that during the hurricane, our Doppler antenna fly away. So really, we don't know if it was between 4 and 5. It came here as a Hurricane 5, and you know, it was really, really hard. So 2 years after that, we're still in the process of recovery. As a testimony, I used to fly to mainland and to other countries to help. So I'm usually in planes. And when you look down to the island, when you're in the plane, you could see all the blue houses, you know, the roofs of the houses with that blue tarps in the tops, just two years after the hurricane. So even when we have been working in the recovery process in the island, we still, you know, are leaving the situation after a hurricane. So it's kind of a really difficult process 2 years after a hurricane.
Have you been getting the support specifically from the American government that is needed?
The American government have been working in the process, but I have to say that and recognize the help of the NGOs and the help of the people that help of us, like for example the people that have helped AmeriCares to help Puerto Rico. Up to now, we have received from AmeriCares, and those those persons and organizations that have helped Americares around $37 million dollars in medicines, in clinics, in help. So what I could say is that we have received the help, and we still need the help of the people, like people that support organizations like Americares, and the U.S. have been really good helping, and we appreciate a lot that.
That's why I was starting with the question of where do you get your funding now? Because you rely on people and organizations and businesses to donate, and then you simply pass along to those donations to the people of Puerto Rico or other regions that you may be working in.
Yes, that's it. Yes, that's the money. The money from the people, from the organizations, you know, that they give to Americares, so this beautiful organization could help to put together the health system in the different places here in Puerto Rico and in the other places around the world that need the help after this kind of disaster. So, you know, we depend on that help of the people. That's the reality.
Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, your title is Mental Health Program Manager. What does that mean?
Okay, well, you know, during many years in the process of disasters and emergency, all the groups, organizations, even governments give a very important place to the part of the physical reconstruction of buildings, physical health of the people. But the thing is that something that we have seen around the world and during many, many years is that after a process like this, the mental health of the community, of the people, and of the people who work during the disaster, of course, get affected, you know, get affected because of different things. For example, to work with the loss, work with devastation, with the suffering of being apart from their people. So that creates, like, stress, anxiety, emotional fatigues. And that's the areas that we work here as a mental health and psychosocial support program manager. We help in the development of programs to work with the people, with the community, and specifically in our case, we concentrate in those who are helping, those health workers and those first responders to develop resiliency and to work with their stress, with their anxiety, with their loss, and with all the process around what is a disaster.
We are speaking with Miguel Marrero, who is the Mental Health Program Manager for Americares in Puerto Rico. And Miguel, when I think about stress for situations like this, I always think of post-traumatic stress disorder and what so many of those who responded to 9/11 experienced, or what firefighters, police officers, and emergency medical technicians experience almost on a daily basis. It sounds very similar to what many of those in Puerto Rico also have gone through and are going through.
Yes, that's it. That's true. By the way, something really interesting is that after 9/11, we as mental health professionals, you know, learn a lot about the mental health and the psychosocial processes after disaster and after emotions and things like that one that you are mentioning. That, for example, when we are near the month of September, we remember September 11 and we remember those images. That's the same thing that happened. For example, for the Puerto Ricans and or people living, let's say people living in Puerto Rico, by the time of the hurricane, you know, now that we are in the hurricane season, we have all these symptoms that began to appear and are related to remembering and thinking about the hurricane and what happened there. You could see that, for example, especially in the workshops that we do around the island, we could see the people when it's raining say, "Oh my God, is Maria coming again? Oh, I'm so afraid because of the winds." So the people, you know, develop anxiety 2 years after the hurricane, develop the anxiety of receiving again a hurricane, of living again all those losses that they leave. They also that bring back the remembering of the family that you know that emigrate from the island that has gone on the island because you know they have no house here. They lost everything. They move, and the people that stay remember them. So many things, many situations around the island could develop those PTSD symptoms. That is very common, for example, in the people living in New York, 5 years, no more than that, after the 9/11.
Miguel, I'm going to have to take a break in just one moment here, but we'll pick up the conversation on the other side of that. Before I forget, if someone wanted to help out, what can they do? What's the best way to do that?
There are different ways, but the first things that I should suggest is to get connected with us online. You could find us in our webpage, www.americares.org, and you could donate even monthly. So just connect with us. There you could see all the things that we are at AmeriCares are doing around the world, specifically here in Puerto Rico, but in more than 90 countries around the world. AmeriCares.org.
Miguel Marrero is joining us from Puerto Rico. He's the mental health program manager for AmeriCares in Puerto Rico. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. This is The Full Story. This is The Full Story on WSHU. I'm Ron Ropiak, and we continue our conversation with Miguel Marrero, joining us from Puerto Rico, and he's the mental health program manager for AmeriCares in Puerto Rico. And Miguel, before the break, we were talking about how everyone who's listening can find out more about AmeriCares, and they can go to www.americares.org. But that's basically to find out about the organization and if they'd like to make a financial donation. And I know, just to clarify it, that a lot of the big donations that you get in terms of pharmaceuticals, medical supplies, and so on, they come directly from the manufacturers. So we just wanted to be clear about that. Miguel, my question for you is, how do you treat those who are suffering from the stress on the island? Is it mainly through talk therapy? Getting together as a group and expressing yourself and talking about what you're afraid of?
Well, that's one of the things, you know, that's one of the things we do. We have different programs running here around the island. As we mentioned before, we are concentrating in working in the community with those health workers that are the front line of the emergency response, and also the first responders. And we have different programs. For example, we prepare them for other emergencies, and we work with the with the part of what happened. In the case with the part of what happened, we have a resiliency and coping for the healthcare communities workshop, and it's a workshop that we have two different things running at the same time. One of them is called psychoeducation, where we give information to those person so they could understand what they are living, what are the symptoms that they could be living, and they could get ready for other situations. During those activities, we have different dynamics and different, by the way, that those these activities, the RCAC, as we call it, Resiliency Coping for the Healthcare Community, is for 16, 18 participants at the time in order to have them the opportunity to talk, to work those situations that they lead during the process and keep affecting them. You made a very interesting question before when you talked us about the PTSD or the post-traumatic stress disorder. And after this kind of situation, we develop conditions like that are triggered by terrifying event. And the people, you know, could have flashback, nightmares, severe anxiety, things like that, because sometimes they don't have the opportunity to talk about them. And in these activities, they have the opportunity. You know, we have seen hundreds of participants saying their experience during the situation of the hurricane, how they were so many hours working, trying to, for example, to save people. I remember one nurse that during activity said, this is the first time that I could talk about the situation of saving a family that were basically underwater after a river go to inside the house. And she would, that nurse was trying to help them to get out of their houses. So there were like different situations that could be talked in this kind of activities where they could work out those situations that they lived during the hurricane. And in those psychoeducational activities, we also give them the alternatives of how to deal with the situations and how to get ready to other emergencies, since these are the people that are going to be in the front line if we have a new hurricane or other type of emergency.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up next, because now that the current hurricane season is upon us, I'm guessing that the anxiety level for some has got to be shooting through the roof.
Oh, yes, it is. And we could see it during the workshops. This was a process where, during the workshops months ago, they remembered the situations. But now, even it's not only remembering the situations of Hurricane Maria. You could hear during the workshops comments like, oh, my God, now if we have a new hurricane, so many people without their roofs, losing the electricity again, losing more people from our families. And that's comments that we hear daily in the workshops. And we have to work with them so they could be strong enough to be that front line in an emergency hurricane process.
Miguel, I only have 2 minutes left. What about for helping those who may have left the island and are now returning? Do they have special needs, special concerns?
Well, they have. Some of the situations that we have here and we are working during our different activities is that many people lose their jobs during the hurricane, because many companies just go away. They have so many losses that they go away. So the people go out of the island. When some of them have come back, they don't have work or they don't have houses. And so those are things that we are dealing with. We at AmeriCares even have the opportunity, some of our team members, we have the opportunity to go to New York recently to work with a group of social workers that are working with more than 3,000 families of Puerto Ricans that just moved to New York from after the hurricane. But, they don't know how to adapt to this new life at New York, without work, without family, with a change even in the temperature. But at the same time, they don't have what to do when they come back. And we are dealing daily here with people that have family that just came back and don't know how to work. So many stressors 2 years after the hurricane. It's not only the wind and the rain what affect our emotions.
Miguel Marrero, the Mental Health Program Manager for AmeriCares in Puerto Rico. Miguel, thank you for your time today, and I hope you come back with us in the future and give us an update as to how things are going.
Perfect, and thank you from AmeriCares for this opportunity that you give us in your program.
And just want to also mention that more than 6,000 health workers and first responders throughout the island have participated in group training sessions through AmeriCares. This is The Full Story on WSHU, and we're continuing our discussion about the aftermath of Hurricane Maria and the effect on Puerto Rico and our region. We're going to bring it a little bit closer to home right now. We were just joined by Miguel, who is speaking with us from Puerto Rico. Laura Floyd is going to join us now from Hartford, or possibly East Hartford. Laura is the executive director of the East Hartford YMCA at the YMCA's Larson Center. Laura, thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Tell us your connection with our story today, with our topic.
Sure. So right now, the East Hartford YMCA Larson Center is helping evacuees from Hurricane Maria, assisting them with anything from housing, childcare, or educational needs.
How many evacuees do you have?
So far, we have been able to serve close to, I just had the file open.
It's never there when you want it, right?
I know, right? So close to around 20. So about 25 have come to our office so far, 25 families.
Now, why did they come to you? Why did they come to Hartford?
So, you know, I think that they heard, so we received some funding to help assist the families here. A lot of families did come to Connecticut from the island. And so once they heard that we, you know, we had some funding to help assist them and, you know, help them to be able to, you know, get back to a normal lifestyle. And because, you know, that was a devastation that happened. Mm. And so once they heard about it and, you know, I guess they were telling, you know, they probably told some other people and that they knew, you know, that the YMCA in East Hartford was here to help them out.
Did they come to Connecticut because they were family members here or friends who had been here before?
Yes. Yep. I would say, you know, 9 times out of 10, they had family members here.
And did they stay with those family members? Or how did the housing situation turn out?
Well, you know, in every case is a little bit different. But, you know, we're finding out that some of them had been living in hotels still. A few of them stayed with their family members. So it was just very different situations pending the cases.
Now, I have read that even a year after Maria, that some families were still arriving in Connecticut. Is that
yes.
Is that accurate?
Yes.
Is that just because they said, look, I've put up with this for a year, I've had it, I'm out of here, I have to go someplace else for a while?
And you know what, I'm honestly not sure about that, but like, yeah, I know people are still coming here from Puerto Rico.
Oh, they currently still are?
Yeah, because we just had a family that just kind of got here recently. I mean, because they couldn't get their life back. It was just too devastation. And, you know, a lot of families did try to stick it out and try to, you know, get some normalcy back. But some families were not able to do that. So they found, you know, other family members that were here in Connecticut and, you know, decided to, you know, then the family members were gracious enough to bring them here.
Did you have some who actually came here for a while and then decided to go back?
I think the majority of the people that we have been serving have stayed here, and hopefully they're gonna, you know, maybe this is gonna be their new life.
It's, boy, starting a new life like that, especially under those circumstances, that's tough. What special needs? What do you need to do? How do you help them?
Well, like I said, a lot of the families, and actually I would say the majority of the families right now have, you know, are living with people. So we're able to help them with, you know, find some housing. And in some cases, you know, because people don't know where to look, we've done a lot of research online. We've looked at apartment buildings for them and places where they can, you know, have their families. We're also finding that, you know, some of the families are still, they're homeless here. And, you know, so we'll help with, you know, either their deposit plus their first month rent, just to kind of help them get settled, you know, and the majority of the people are, you know, have found some employment, and sometimes it's not always steady employment, but they found something that can at least help them out so that they can be able to provide for their families.
Well, can we talk about the homeless aspect a little bit? When you say that some are homeless, does that mean that they're in shelters, that they are in hotels or motels?
So there are people, I know that from talking to a couple of the families that they were in hotels, and then we do have some that were in shelters too.
And is this funded by the government, or do you get assistance from private groups?
This came from the state of Connecticut.
Okay. Now, again, we go back to it's tough enough to move under any circumstance. How do you find a job at this point? Jobs around here are, I mean, the unemployment rate is better nowadays, But still, it's tight for the someone who's just getting to this area.
Mm-hmm. And we found like some people are doing seasonal work. You know, just because, you know, there's times where, you know, like right now, you know, if you're doing landscaping or, you know, there's outdoor work to be done or construction work to be done. So those are some of the jobs that people are finding right now. Because it is it's a tough market in Connecticut.
How did you get involved with this? The reason I ask that, and I say this in the most respectful manner, I'm hearing the YMCA. Why is the YMCA doing this?
So we actually were contacted through a government person, and they thought that the YMCA would, because the YMCA is a service organization, and we do a lot for the community. We provide financial assistance for families that cannot afford, you know, the pricing of, you know, different programs. And they say, oh, you know, the Y already does this kind of work, but offering, helping people find housing is something totally different than we have ever done.
I was going to say, that's something outside of your normal range of activities, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But it's very humbling. And, you know, it's in my 30-year career with the YMCA, this is the first time that I've ever had to do something like that. And I can honestly say it's very humbling.
Well, I just want to tell you that I belong to my local Y, and I think that what you guys do is fantastic, and I've always been very impressed by what takes place at the Ys around our region.
Thank you.
How can people help? I mean, because if you're hearing something on the radio today and you're saying, boy, that's a tough situation that some people are finding themselves in, how can we, or who are listening, actually help out?
So, I mean, you can also, you know, a couple things you can refer. We also, like I said, because the YMCA provides financial assistance, we can also kind of, you know, they can make donations to help some families out. And like I said, just the referral process will be very helpful. So if you know, anybody that's listening knows of anybody, you know, any families that are, you know, still seeking some assistance and are still, you know, without housing, a permanent housing, and or they need child care for their children, or they need, you know, they want to, you know, further their education, they just need to contact us at the East Hartford YMCA, which the number is 860-289-6612. And they can either ask for myself, which is, I'm Laura, or they can ask for Jose. And Jose is the one that actually, because he speaks Spanish, so I don't speak enough Spanish to be able to really, really assist, you know, those families that don't speak English.
Laura, do you talk with other Ys around the region? The reason is because I know that there were thousands who actually left Puerto Rico over the last 2 years. And I know more than 10,000, I believe, settled in our region. When I say our region, Long Island, Connecticut. And so I'm guessing that a network must have formed to help those who actually travel to this area.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. Because I'm actually kind of new to Connecticut myself, so I'm not 100% sure about that. I just know of the agencies that received funding through the state of Connecticut to help the evacuees from Hurricane Maria.
Just as an aside, are you prepared in case anything else continues in the future? Because hurricane season is upon us, and there's always that possibility again. I mean, is this something that now you're equipped to deal with?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, you know, for instance, if we were to receive some more funding, we would be more than happy to help. And, you know, and because we have year-long programs, so child care assistance, that always continues out. So, you know, when people come here and they don't have a place for they want to work, but they don't have a place for their children to attend, their preschoolers and toddlers, that's where we fall in. And you know, we assist with that, you know, and our child care sites are open, you know, year round, and it's an open enrollment. So we're very willing to help with that.
Okay. Laura, I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a few moments. We have to take a short break, and we're going to be joined by another guest, and maybe I can get the two of you on at the same time, and we could all have a nice conversation. If anyone would like to join in our conversation, our email is open for you. You can join us at tfs@wshu.org. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Full Story WSHU. And, of course, the voicemail is always open for you, 833-CALL-TFS, and that number comes out to 833-225-5837. We're talking about Hurricane Maria. We're talking about the aftermath, what's coming up over the next few months, and what you might be able to do to help out the situation. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. It's The Full Story on WSHU. I'm Ron Robiak. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about what took place. It's hard to believe that it was just a little under 2 years ago. I mean, boy, time flies nowadays. The hurricane that devastated Puerto Rico, the effect that it had on the island, and then the effect that it had on this region, and it still reverberates today. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he's going to take a trip to Puerto Rico. He's going to meet with the State University of New York and CUNY students, volunteer students, who are helping the island recover from Hurricane Maria. Now, the governor spoke at the Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York City back on Sunday.
Our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico are still suffering from Hurricane Maria. And Hurricane Maria was a double tragedy. It was the hurricane, and then it was the disrespect shown by the federal government that did not assist Puerto Rico the way it should have been, the way we've worked with other communities all across this country and across the world. Because the federal government forgot an important fact, which are Puerto Ricans are American citizens. And what the federal government did was a disgrace. New York, we have not forgotten. We said on day one that we would stand with Puerto Rico every step of the way. Congresswoman Velasquez, Assemblyman Marcos Crespo, Ruben Diaz, we were among the first people in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. There is still work to do. We are still doing it. We are going to bring more college students down from SUNY and CUNY. This summer, another 300 students to help rebuild. I'll be going down again to work with those students in rebuilding. The Congresswoman, Ruben Diaz, Marcos Crespo, because there's still work to do. We are also setting up a commission that is going to commemorate Hurricane Maria and the victims of Hurricane Maria.
That is New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and we're going to continue our conversation now with Laura Floyd, who's the executive director of the East Hartford YMCA. And also joining us now is Jessica Ruiz, a Puerto Rican native who lives in Riverhead. And Jessica started the Facebook group Boricuas and Long Island. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. I'm going to get to you in just one moment. I just have a question for Laura, because Laura, listening to Governor Cuomo, I know there's a lot of political ramifications for this, and in terms of funding not coming through fast enough, but you were dealing with primarily with residents who came to our region from Puerto Rico. What have you received in terms of funding from the federal government, from the state government, that has helped you along the way?
Yes, so we did receive some funding from the state government to help us. And, you know, in talking to families, we also did find out, like the governor of New York was saying, families were not getting the assistance that they felt that they deserved as, you know, citizens. And, you know, that's devastating to them. I mean, and I think that, you know, us being able to get this funding from the state of Connecticut has really, like, really helped us out. And, you know, I'm glad that our state, you know, took a stand and said, okay, we're going to help people. We're going to help those that came here from the island, and we're going to help them restore their lives.
Did you receive any funding from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency?
No, we did not.
Okay. I believe I had heard that FEMA aid was available to some of those seeking housing, but I'm going to check into that, and then we'll be able to update this in the near future. Jessica, thanks for holding on. How are you today?
Good, good. How are you?
We're good. It's hard to believe that it's been 2 years and that the island is still recovering.
It really is hard to believe.
Isn't that amazing? It does seem like it was yesterday that we were all watching these devastating images and fearing for the lives of those who we know down there. Have you traveled to the island since?
I have not. My grandparents were actually stuck there when Maria was passing by. They were visiting my grandfather's brother, who was very ill, and they were actually stuck out there. We haven't been back since, but hoping to go back the end of this year.
And I'm hoping that you said your grandparents, I hope that they're okay?
Yes, they're okay. Well, we were able to get them back here in a humanitarian flight 4 days after Maria. They still have some kind of PTSD from the storm. Every time they say the storm season's coming, they get worried, scared. A couple of months after they got back from Puerto Rico, they were having nightmares because of the whole experience that they went through while the hurricane was hitting the island.
I don't know if you heard the first portion of our program today. We spoke with Miguel Marrero, who is the mental health program manager for AmeriCares, mm-hmm. and he's in Puerto Rico right now. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what he was describing and what he's dealing with. And he was saying how since then, so many are suffering mentally because of the anxiety, the stress. And now that hurricane season is coming up, the thought of it happening again must be terrifying.
Definitely. And not only that, after Maria, people not being able to get help right away, whether it was some kind of disconnect between the government in Puerto Rico and the federal government here. We don't know exactly what happened, but a lot of people just found themselves helpless, and some of them decided to take their lives. So the toll of suicidals are rising, unfortunately, in Puerto Rico because of all the untreated mental health.
Laura, I didn't even touch on that with you a little bit earlier. Are you dealing with some mental health situations that maybe were unexpected?
I actually would say yes. I mean, we've had people come to us just literally in tears, just devastated because, like you said, it's been 2 years and people are still trying to get their lives back. And it's been a long time, and they should have their lives back, at least some sense of normalcy at this point. And, they're devastated. They're crying. They're, almost like, please help us. Please, we need help. Mm. And, like you said, I just heard Jessica say, and I didn't realize the PTSD that people must be suffering from, and because that's devastating. And just worried because here we go. It's almost hurricane season again, and something that could happen again.
It's just as you start to feel a little bit better, maybe a little bit more secure. Then you start to worry all over again. Jessica, do you know of any friends or relatives, or have you met anyone who left the island after Maria and moved to this region?
Not moved to Long Island itself, but they moved to Florida and New Jersey. I think they're just here to stay. First of all, because their health was at risk. I was actually able to be an aid to them to get them on a humanitarian flight out to Florida as well, about 2-3 weeks after Maria. So they're doing well. They are working. They have their own place now. It's very fulfilling to see where you get them from that moment of desperation, because all we had then was social network because the phone system was down. Mm. So every time they got a little signal and they were able to post something, it was like such a cry for help. Like, I can't do this anymore. I need to get out of here. My family, my parents, my wife, they don't have the medicine that they need. They're going to die. Like this tone of desperation that you were able to read on Facebook. It was just so worrisome, you know.
But are still members of their family still in Puerto Rico, or have they all left?
Still members of their family are still in Puerto Rico. You know, I think it's more of the older generation that have decided to stay. I feel that it's harder for the newer generation, those in 18 through 35, that have a harder time staying, because it's just, I know I wouldn't be able to, because I'm not used to that type of living.
If you saw me smiling right now, you would probably be saying, what's wrong with this guy? But yeah, I'm thinking back to the program we did yesterday about hurricanes, and we were speaking with some emergency preparedness people. And you know, every year during the storms, there are usually some of the older generation who they're told to evacuate, and they turn around and they say, I've been through worse, I'm staying.
Exactly.
And there's no way I'm going to move right now.
Exactly.
You kids need to toughen up.
Correct. So it teaches our generation that we need to toughen up to go through these things, because you never know. It could happen to anybody. You know, the islands are worse off because they're in open ocean, but it could happen to us. And we need to be, I feel like, mentally prepared as well, teaching our kids as well, you know, this could happen to us.
I'm going to ask Laura this same question in a moment. But Jessica, how come they since they still have family members there, why won't they go back? What are they telling you?
Jobs. They're having a hard time obtaining jobs. Right now, Puerto Rico is still trying to build up. So, you know, the question always comes up, what can we do now for Puerto Rico? I feel like, you know, aside from donating to charity or donating to programs that are helping out in Puerto Rico, I think that the best way to help Puerto Rico recover from the hurricane is just go out there, take a vacation. Those dollars that you spend out there, they become extremely important part of the economy. So, you know, a lot of them just complain about that there's no job. Right now, everything out there that's being done is volunteer work. So in order for them to survive and to give the care that their family and kids need, they come out here to work and also try to send some money back to help their family.
Sure. And I think most of us already know that, look, before the hurricane, Puerto Rico's economy was already on shaky ground, and they were trying to get the economy stabilized and try to get new industries in there. But employment was high, and the bond market did not like Puerto Rico for a while. So, and then this on top of it. It was just a mess. Laura, I wanted to ask you the same question. When you speak with those who came to the Hartford area, and you said, you know, many of them are going to stay, same reason, is it even though that family members may still be back there, it's that the jobs are here now?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, you got to think that they've started a whole new life. I mean, they've enrolled their children in programs. They have their children in schools, and you know, and you know, they people want to establish some sense of normalcy for their families, so leaving would just be like, you know, maybe somewhere down in the future. But I think for now that a lot of people are just going to stay here because they're, you know, they want to have a normal life like they did on the island.
Exactly. And as you point out, the most important thing, you know, that you could do for a kid at times is just have some stability.
Mm-hmm.
Give a schedule there that the kid can rely on and makes all the difference in his or her life. Jessica, when you look at the funding that has happened or not happened for Puerto Rico, what's your reaction, especially from the federal government?
That's a very touchy subject. I have to say, you know, a lot of people are always, including myself, probably at the beginning when it was just happening, and all these people needed water, medicine, just the essentials. We saw all this stuff getting delivered and just sitting there in the docks. Meanwhile, people were dying because they didn't have clean water to drink or food or medicine. I think it was sort of like a disconnect between the local government and the federal government. You know, I feel like the help did get out there, but it didn't get distributed. So it's very, I want to say, devastating and sad to believe that, you know, these two agencies couldn't coordinate for this help to get to where it was needed the most.
It was amazing to watch and listen for a while as some of the local officials said some things, and then the Trump administration would say some things.
Mm-hmm.
It was like angry kids in a schoolyard going back and forth for a while. And in the meantime, those who were affected were sick or dying. And, you know, from the perspective of sitting here, it was like, oh, come on, act like adults. Just let's get the act together.
Correct. Like, stop arguing between you and let's just do what is needed for these people that are in need. I was reading an article a while ago and how 8 out of 10 Puerto Ricans would complain about the Trump administration. And then you got the 10 out of 10 complaining about the Puerto Rico local government. So, you know, you have to look at it from different perspectives. Again, if we weren't there, we really don't know what happened. But at the same time, it's like, what happened to all that help that was sent out there, including just musicians and famous Puerto Rican artists got together and sent out food and huge cargoes of help. And even they were complaining that they weren't getting those out to where it was needed.
Mm.
So it was pretty sad the way that everything was handled.
Laura, I'm going to give you about 30, 45 seconds here. Once again, if someone would like to get in contact with you at the East Hartford YMCA and if would like to contribute or help with what you're doing, how can they do that?
So they can either email me, and my email address is Laura, L-A-U-R-A, dot Floyd, F-L-O-Y-D, at ghymca.org, or they can call our office, which is 860-289-6612.
Beautiful. And Jessica, I'm going to give you the final word here today with the minute that we have left. Considering, as I said, that it is now hurricane season, there are always those fears. If another hurricane were to hit Puerto Rico at this point, I know you're not a meteorologist, but what are your fears?
My fears are that those who have not been able to rebuild and that are still living under tarps and tents are not going to make it. And that would be my worry.
Is there anything that could be done in the short term, in the next few weeks, next few months to help them?
I feel that people wanted to spend some time out there, go and volunteer. There's lots of volunteer opportunities to help rebuild their houses, help them get that sense of security.
Jessica Ruiz, living in Riverhead, a native of Puerto Rico. Jessica, I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you for letting us talk.
Laura Floyd is the executive director of the East Hartford YMCA at the YMCA's Larson Center. Laura, thanks. I hope that you come into the studio one day.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting us to speak also.
Be well.
Thank you.
That's it for our show today. Julie Ferdino is our engineer. Carrie Frank is the digital editor. Our associate producers are Christian Carter, Sabrina Garone, Natalie Chafari. J.D. Allen is the producer. Ann Lopez is the senior producer, and Terry Sheridan is our news director. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thanks to you for being part of The Full Story.